The passage we're going to read in just a moment is one that we've heard, you've heard many, many times. You've probably read it dozens of times, but probably never really understood or let it sink in to what it was saying. If you ever read the Bible through and seen Scripture from time to time and you get to a place and one day you read it and you've read it, you feel like 1,000 times, but all of a sudden it just jumps out at you with a greater meaning than you've never seen. That's what I want to preach on today. I want to preach on the subject of the God who cares for you. Now, that may not seem significant to you, but I submit to you today it is of great significance that understand that our God does care for you. I could call your name today and tell you that God cares for you, and I could say your name. There's not a person in this building today that God does not care about. I assure you that. I understand. I don't understand the mind of Christ. He doesn't have the mind that we have, thank goodness. But I know one thing. The Bible very well teaches that all things work together for good. And we know that God does care about us. He said He would never leave us nor forsake us, and truly, He's proven that to me time and time again. Although there's been times when I felt as perhaps maybe He had, but thank goodness I realized in the end that He hadn't. And I pray today that God will use this passage of Scripture in light of the fact that some of you may be going through some difficult times right now. Some may be going through some suffering. In fact, we've got a lot of people with cancer, a lot of people going through treatments, a lot of people that are having difficulties like they never had before. And if you get older, and I'm getting older, I have a few problems. I don't have anything to complain about, really. I'm grateful today for God's blessings on me. But even in my pain, I'm reminded that God cares about me. So that leads me to my scripture today. If you have your Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 5, begin reading in verse number 5. He said, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder." Now, I want you to understand the verses prior to where I'm going with this. We do have going to use 7. It's going to be the key verse. Don't jump ahead of me. But I want you to listen what he says in verse 5 and 6. He said, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." That's a great verse, and it's a very plentiful verse to get a lot out of. In verse number 6, he said, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." He said, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together and once again open the Word of God. Lord, today we're dealing with a passage which I'm sure a lot of people sitting here probably could have at least quoted verse 7, and it would not be a hard one to memorize. It might be good if we all did learn to memorize and understand what it said. But Lord, today I pray that you'd open our eyes, our hearts, and our minds to be receptive to the truth that is set before us today. And Lord, as we begin to open it up and to dissect it and to look at it, I pray that you'd speak to the hearts of those today, perhaps that are maybe some even in doubt of your concern for them. Maybe some today that is not doubting, but Lord, they're just waiting for the time of a breakthrough when you're going to come on the scene and prove yourself to them. Father, today I pray that you'd help me deliver this in a way, Lord, that would be pleasing to you. I ask that your name be exalted, lifted up, and glorified. And we'll thank you for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. I want to take the statement simply, "He careth for you." And you find that in verse number 7. We've probably said that, and I say it as a pastor to people all the time. I remind them that God does care about them. But yet, I want you to understand today the power behind that statement. Listen to me. First of all, he careth for you, thinking how powerful it is. The God who is sovereign in all things cares about you. Now, I'll be honest with you today. I back in school, I wasn't the most popular guy. In fact, I wasn't popular at all. I was not a very good athlete, so I always got chosen last. And a lot of times, I didn't maybe like the others, felt as welcome and wanted as others did. But occasionally in my life, I had some friends that I went to school with that I remember that they obviously cared about me. because they took up time with me and spent time with me, and some of them perhaps was not like me. They were perhaps maybe popular, maybe they were a great athlete, or maybe they had certain things about them. But it was amazing to me that they would spend time with me. But that is nothing to pale the comparison of a sovereign God in heaven that cares about me. And He cares about you and everything that we do. The God who spoke the universe into existence, friend, He cares about you. The God who hung the stars in their places, who placed the planets in their orbits, who created everything that exists in our universe, that God cares about you. Please understand today the significance of a God in heaven that loved the world and died on the cross for every one of our sins. And yet, if we confess our sin, God is willing to forgive us of our sin, to save our soul, and to give us eternal life. I tell you, I'm blown away when I think of the fact today important people don't know me, don't want nothing to do with me, but my God in heaven, the most important person in all the universe, cares about me. And furthermore, He cares about you. The God who has His way in the whirlwind and the storm, He cares about you. The God who controls the functions and the movements of every object in the universe cares about you. There's a storm a-brewing, isn't it? We're praying for the people in the path, but could I tell you today, and a lot of people don't understand, why would God allow that? I don't know, but I can tell you, it's for the betterment of whatever that God brings to pass. God makes no mistakes, and God is in control of everything that comes this way. And might I say that sometimes when things come our way, they're of our own doing and our own choosing. And when we do those things, we suffer the consequences of God in our life. The God who sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sin cares for you. Brother Petty mentioned last week, said when He was on the cross, you were on His mind. I want you to know today I'm so grateful that the God of all the universe cares about me. It ought to thrill us today. I tell you, no matter what you're going through, what you're facing, boy, we look at the world today, we look at our government, and pray, by the way, we need to pray for the shooting out in Texas, 5 more killed yesterday, 21 injured, because people that are crazy, doing crazy things, but that's the result of the world that is full of sin, and it's not going to get any better, friend, as people continue to reject our God and turn away from Him. Let's face the truth. God ought to stir our hearts this morning to understand that we've got a God who cares. Today, by the help of the Lord, I want to explore that idea of God caring for us. Very simple passage, and I want to speak to you on that subject, the God who cares for you. The first thing we notice is the God who cares through His purposes. Go back to that phrase in verse 6, if you would, where He said, the mighty hand of God. I want you to know that God is all-powerful. There's nobody more powerful than God. In fact, I would go on to say there's nobody even close to being as powerful as God. And yet we see that when He speaks, He's talking about the mighty hand of God. And what does that reveal to us? Normally, with our hands, we're able to function and operate and do what we do. I don't know what we do without our hands. I don't know what we do without our feet. And some people have to. But understand, if we have the functions that God gives to us, we're blessed and grateful to be able to use them. But when He speaks of the mighty hand of God, He's talking about the mighty hand of God to control everything that goes on in our life. First off, we notice God's purposes are sovereign. The word mighty carries with it the idea of physical strength, having the power to do something. I've learned here recently with what's going on at my house, that I don't have the power to do the things I used to do. I'll be honest, never was a strong man, but I used to be a little stronger than I am today. I find out as I get older, I get a little weaker, and my hands get a little bit more trembly and shaky, and I'm just not able to do everything that I did. But yet, we speak of God, and God who had existed for eternity from the beginning, and He will exist to the end. His hand is just as strong today as it was, well, as it always has been, because it never was. He always has been. You see, God stretches forth His hand to do mighty things. I shared a mighty thing this morning about Brother Jones. Wasn't that great news? To God be the glory. God can touch the life of a sick person. He can heal them if it be His will. You said, preacher, you don't always do that. I understand that. But friend, I can tell you, all things are good. All things are good. In fact, what brought me to this attention is I actually used verse 10 of this verse to preach Sanchez's funeral this week. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory. You know, today, God called us here to live for Him. Well, first of all, He gave us the opportunity to be saved. And once we become saved, we ought to live for Him. But hey, listen, one day, and it could be, and I believe it is, going to be shortly, these days are going to be over. We're going to be in heaven. I thought about Sanchez, thought about Brother Ward. I thought about Brother Shiver, Brother Frank Shiver. I tell you today, they're rejoicing in the presence of the angels today. And God had prepared them a long time ago for the eternal glory that they would experience. You see, in this picture of Him, He does as He pleases, when He pleases, how He pleases, and with whom He pleases. It's an image of absolute power and action under the mighty hand of God. He's control of all things. He exercises all power. He does all that He pleases. Notice the verses, Psalm 115, verse 3. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Friend, don't listen to me. Understand today, God is, He hates evil. But friend, we're living in an evil world in whom the devil does have power and exist. But the Bible teaches us that God in heaven has done whatsoever He hath pleased. In Psalm 135, verse 6, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Friend, I want you to know today, God is in control. And we're operating under the mighty hand of God. And if it's not going the way that we think it ought to go, perhaps maybe we need to look within ourselves, because God makes no mistakes. And all that God does is for our benefit and our purpose. In Isaiah 46:10, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient time the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. You get it? God's in control. God does what He pleases. God does what He wants, and His will is always perfect. God's purposes are superior. The mighty hand of God. Since God's being moved with the power that is in His hand, He has the power to comfort. He has the power to strengthen. He has the power to help. And notice, God can be trusted to always do the right thing. And I'll be honest with you, I hope you have confidence in me that I'll try to do what I said, but I'll be honest with you, sometimes I forget. Sometimes I have things I need to do, and I tell you, I feel bad. I get to the point, I say, man, I missed that. I forgot it or something. And, you know, that may happen. But you know what? With God, all things are according to His will, and He'll always do right. Genesis 18:25, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Shall not the judge, shall not God, the God of the earth, shall He not do right? We don't understand, but listen, folks, everything that is happening in this day and age in which we live has happened and has been predicted, has been prophesied, has been given, and all we see in this day and age we're living in is the fulfillment of the prophecy of the Word of God. It's all in God's plans. Unlike human planners, God's plans rise above pure motives. From pure motives, excuse me. The truth alone means that His motives are superior. God's purposes are successful. The mighty hand of God, He be sure that everything God purposes will come to pass. Unlike our plans. Hey, don't always, you know, somebody said, well, what's your plan? Well, this may be my plan, but we're not setting them in concrete, okay? Because the very thing happened. Oftentimes our plans get shattered. Oftentimes things come up and arise that we had not anticipated. But I tell you, God's plans will always come to completion in His time. The Bible testifies to that. Isaiah 46, 11. Yea, I have spoken it. I will bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Friend, what a blessing. He said in Ephesians 1, 11, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. In Ephesians 3, 20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. One way God reveals his care for his people is through his eternal purposes. I want you to know God is in the business of redeeming people. The Bible said Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I don't understand. I'm surprised that God's left us here as long as he has. But I'm going to tell you what, there's still some people that can be, and I believe will be, birthed into the family of God. And God's given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. But one day, the final call is going to be made. The trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to be out of here. And if you rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll spend eternity separated from him. He's in the business of redeeming people. I saw a man the other day. And I've known him for some time, and I was talking to him, and he kind of like me. Thank goodness mine didn't last long as his did, but we all sometimes go through some times wasn't so good. But he was sure praising God for the day that God saved his eternal soul and set him on the road to heaven. Friend, I tell you, there's no joy, no greater joy in the world than knowing that I'm saved by the grace of God and I'm going to heaven one day. And that the God in heaven cared enough for me to give me his son to die for me. And he cares enough about me that he blesses me upon this earth and what I live quickly. God reveals his care through his purposes, but God reveals his care through his promises. Notice, if you would, some things that he says. As you know by now, life in this world is not easy. In fact, I'll be honest with you. It's just a lot of pain and a lot of heartache. And a lot of hard times. And yet, these words, these precious words that I read to you this morning, are come literally from the promises of the Heavenly Father to help us walk in this life with confidence in him. Could I just add to you today, I don't care how bad things are. I don't believe this morning any of us could say that we're worse off than the folks in Haiti. And I'm not talking about just the storm. I don't even know if the storm's heading that way. But they've been hit with storm after storm after storm. I've never been there, but I've heard people that have been there talk about literally the starvation and the things that go on there. We live in America. I mean, I can't remember missing any meals. And I can testify to that. I mean, you can tell. I've lived a good life. God's blessed me. And I don't understand. You say, well, why does God allow that and God allow this? Friend, all I can tell you is I don't understand and I don't know, but I do know God cares about me and he cares about the people in Haiti. He cares about the people in the Bahamas. He cares about the people in Japan and all over the world because he gave his son to die for them. God's promise is grace. Look at verse 5. The latter part, he says, God resists the proud, but he said, and giveth grace to the humble. Now, you know, when you think of grace, I'll say more about that in a moment, but the word grace refers to a state of favor. I always liked being or having my dad on my side or having my mom on my side, but there was times that they were not on my side because I had rebelled against them. Yet it was always great when I found favor. I didn't as much as I should, but I, from time to time, wanted their favor. And you know, God says, basically, and he giveth grace to the humble. You see, we talk about grace when it comes to salvation. In a sense, grace is, as we talked about, the unmerited or undeserved love and favor of Christ towards sinners. It speaks of a love and saving mercy to those who deserve his wrath. Thank God this morning. I don't know about you, but I can tell you something. Hell is real. Hell is hot. But I can give you assurance this morning that according to the Word of God, my God's promises never fail. I've trusted in him. I've been saved from that awful place. I'm not going there because I've been born again by the Spirit of God. And yet, that is grace. That's the undeserved love of God in my life. You see, in this passage, the word grace speaks of what God gives to people when they submit to His will. Humble yourselves, He'll give you grace. In other words, you'll find favor in His sight. What does God give us if we humble ourselves? And by the way, I think we need to understand what He's saying there. Here's what He gives us. We humble ourselves. That's why a lot of people don't have it, because they hadn't humbled themselves. But He gives us joy, peace, hope, awareness of His presence, His power, His favor, a sense of well-being, strength to face anything that comes our way, help to continue for the Lord, and a calmness of the Spirit, just to name a few of the things that God does for those who humble themselves. Some of the humblest people I know are people whose body is racked with pain, and they may even be in states of deformity, but they've never turned their back on a loving, graceful God that loved them. So grace, here's the idea of living under the personal favor and blessing of God. I don't know about you, but I enjoy God's blessings and favor all the time, don't you? I mean, I'm glad today that I'm not going to hell, but hey, that's down the road. I've got that settled. It's been taken care of, but I want God's favor today. I want God's favor in my life. I want God's favor this morning, this church. We give the invitation. I want God to work in a way in people's lives. See them come to know Him. So, but notice just before that, I purposely skipped that. But it said, for God resisteth the proud. The word resist means to arrange against. This idea of being proud in this verse, someone who has been an overestimate of their own abilities. Thank goodness, and don't misunderstand me today. I want to be careful when I say this because I don't want to ever. Thank God for talented people. Pianists, soloists, choir, that's a wonderful blessing. But the day that you ever think that it's all about you or that you're the one that is so good, you're in trouble. I've been playing at the nursing home and singing. It seems like sometimes I do worse than I did the day before. I don't know, maybe God knows He's got to keep me humble. You know, I might get too proud if I was good. I don't know. But I thank God today that it's all about Him. God promises. He said, listen. He said, I resist the proud. I tell you, there's people today go through life bragging about this and that and the other. But friend, we need to brag about God. He promises us His glory in verse 6. And He said, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. The idea here is while we walk through this life, there's going to be valleys. There's going to be times of difficulty. That is simply part of living. And here's what I say. I believe anybody at any time could look around and find somebody worse off than they are. No matter how bad things may be. But God said, if you humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, He'll exalt you in due time. You'll get to the place you need to be. The word exalt means to lift up, to elevate, to raise higher. And by the way, if He, you know, I don't know just what all He can do. And I believe definitely He's given us an opportunity to serve Him in many ways. But if He don't ever do it down here, we're going to be exalted when we get up there. What a blessing. He lifts us up to elevate us, and, you know, that might happen here. There are examples of people who willingly assumed a place of humility before the Lord, only to find themselves raised to levels of power. I could ask you today who some of them were, and you could name them real quickly, but let me just name a couple. There was a young man named Daniel that failed to turn his back on God, and God exalted him. There was a young man named Joseph. If you remember, he was sold by his brothers. Brother, I tell you, you read the life of Joseph, and I tell you, any preacher ought to be encouraged by that. Listen, I don't know if I've ever been through anything like that, but hey, he ended up being in a high position that literally his family was dependent upon him for food because God exalted him in due time. You see, some people have an intent on promoting themselves. They won't tell you all they've done, all they have, and who they are. These people have nowhere to go except down. But you find somebody that humbles themselves and they have nowhere to go except up. And God said, I'll raise them in the right time. There was an old black man by the name of Booker T. Washington. Any of you that remembers your history will remember Booker T. Washington. He was a black man. He was became the president of Tuskegee Institute in Alabama. One day, and this was back in the day, he was walking a very exclusive part neighborhood of Tuskegee, if I'm saying it right. And there was a very wealthy white lady there, and she saw him, and she stopped him and said, "Hey, sir," she said, "would you like to make a little extra money? Would you mind chopping me some wood and bring it into the house?" And he said, "Yes, ma'am, I'll be glad to." He had a little bit of time on his hands, and he thought, why not? So he went, and he chopped the wood, and he carried it in the house. And when he carried it in the house, the woman's little girl saw him, and she recognized him and knew who he was. And so after he left, she told the mother, she said, "That was Booker T. Washington. He's the president of Tuskegee Institute." And her mother was very embarrassed. The next day, she went to his office, and she apologized profusely. She said, "I'm so sorry." She said, I didn't know. He said, "It's fine." He said, "You know, it's perfectly all right, madam." He said, "Occasionally, I enjoy doing manual labor. And besides, it's always a delight to do something for my friends." Several months later, that lady, along with some of her other wealthy friends, donated several $1 million to the Tuskegee Institute of Technology in Alabama as a result of his being willing to be humble for a day. But there's a lot of people would say, "I'm the president of the college," or whatever. I'm going to tell you, don't ever get too big for your britches. And don't ever get too big to do something for God. That's like in serving God. Someone said, "Well, there's some things I ain't going to do." The psalmist said, "I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked." And I tell you, no job at this church is too low for anybody to do, including myself. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. He said in Matthew 23:12, "And whatsoever shall, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." The way up is down, and the way down is up. And friend, you better understand today which way you're going if you want to be exalted. Then lastly, God cares through his provision, verses 5-7. We see God has provided a plan. Look at just the first part of verse 5. "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder." Skip down verse 6, the first part. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God." I believe these two verses reveal how you can live a stress-free life. You said, "Preacher, that's too easy." Oh, it might be, but I believe it's the answer. A stress-free life, happy in Jesus, is younger, submitting yourselves unto the elder, and humbling yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. We see it'll unlock the secret of stress in our life. The word submit means to subject, line up under one another. The word younger means new, refers to new believers. The second part of verse 5 is a call of every believer to submit every one to one another. Look what he said, the latter part. "Yea, all you must be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility." Perfect example of Jesus in the upper room when he took a water basin and washed the feet of his disciples. Friend, today, God is not blessed to have me, but I'm blessed to have God. And we need to understand that. Humble yourselves means to depress, being oneself low. It's the idea of yielding to the mighty hand of God. When I can submit to whatever God is doing in my life, I have his promise that he'll give me grace and he'll work out his glory in my life. Consider some that yielded and experienced his exalting grace. Abraham, David, Elijah, the widow of Zarephath, Mary, the mother of Jesus. But consider those who didn't yield, thus did not experience this kind of help. Samson, Peter, King Saul. You see, God's plan is simple. If his people will walk in submission one to another. I tell you, my relationship with God is important. But my relationship with you is important. And your relationship with me is important. And I tell you, there's some people think that Listen, you know, talk about people can't get along and whatever. You know, listen, you need to understand the Bible has a lot to say about relationship one with another. And he said if you do those things, you'll be lifted up and exalted. God has provided a place. Where's that place? Look at verse 7. He said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. It means I don't have to carry my problems. I don't have to carry my burdens. I don't have to go to hell. I can just trust Christ. I can just throw them on him. He says, casting all your care. Throwing, it doesn't mean throwing away. It means throwing it on someone or something. Take it away from you. How do I do that? Hebrews 4:15-16. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Philippians 4:6-7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. All I can tell you this morning, I can do it because this verse tells me he careth for you. He's interested in you. He's concerned about you. You say, well, I wish he'd show it. He will, if you'll humble yourselves. If you'll get to the place to where you'll allow him to, he will show you that by his presence with you. You know, you can say what you will, but I can sense and feel the presence of God in my life from time to time. I'm not going to stand here and tell you all the time because many times I fail him. But I do feel and understand that my God is with me by his presence, by his provision. The Bible said in the book of Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He said, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Brother Jones testified to that this morning. And I could testify and you can testify by his presence, by his provisions, by his providence over us, and by his protection. He cares about you. God cares about your soul. He loves you. He does. Friend, he will never, ever not love you. You said, friend, preacher, does he maybe love some people more than the others? Well, I think definitely the ones that are closer to him, there's a greater bond. But his love is so far reaching that he died for you. He'll never cease to love you to the day you die. And then he won't cease then. He'll just take you up to heaven to live with him forever. There's some folks this morning carrying around a burden they've been carrying around for a long time. They've got financial problems. They've got other problems going on in their life. Some got physical problems. Some are enduring some things that they just don't know. Friend, if you're a child of God, he said, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior today? Do you know heaven is your home? My friend, today, he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.